What if our lives happen only once, never to be repeated? Would our choices matter more or less? Milan Kundera's masterpiece explores this haunting question through four intertwined lives against the backdrop of Soviet-occupied Czechoslovakia. The novel's central philosophical dilemma comes from Nietzsche's concept of eternal return. Without repetition, do our actions lose their weight? In a world without return, even monumental events like revolutions diminish in importance, fading into the lightness of non-being. Yet paradoxically, our one-time choices become unbearably significant precisely because we have only one chance. Standing at his window, surgeon Tomas contemplates this paradox when Teresa arrives at his door with a suitcase, symbolically offering her entire existence to him. Against his principles of emotional detachment, he welcomes her in, making the first of many choices between lightness, freedom, and weight, commitment. Tomas embodies the struggle between erotic freedom and emotional commitment. Having abandoned traditional roles, he cultivates erotic friendships without sentimentality. His relationship with the painter Sabina represents this perfect arrangement. Yet Teresa's arrival disrupts his carefully constructed detachment. Despite welcoming her into his life, he continues his affairs, creating a fundamental tension, securing her presence while maintaining emotional distance. Their most intimate connection happens during sleep, when physical proximity creates an emotional intimacy his philosophical stance can't explain. Meanwhile, Teresa's dreams reveal the cost of this arrangement, nightmares laden with jealousy and suffering that leave physical marks like self-inflicted pain on her psyche. Haven't we all experienced this tension? The desire to maintain independence while yearning for the depth that comes with commitment? Their relationship captures this universal struggle, love fraught with betrayal and doubt, yet persistent in its connection. The division between soul and body forms another essential tension in the novel. Teresa's journey begins with physical hunger, a rumbling stomach, yet represents a deeper spiritual yearning. Standing before the mirror, she sees not just her reflection, but glimpses her soul, an act of defiance against her mother's superficial values. Born to a woman obsessed with physical beauty, yet bitter about lost opportunities, Teresa grows up bearing blame for her mother's failures. This shapes her desperate need to be seen as more than flesh. The soul-body dichotomy extends to sexuality as well. When Teresa attempts to adopt Tomas's approach by having an affair, she discovers she cannot separate her body from her soul. Her body moved mechanically, her soul retreating, proudly neutral in an ambiguous moral stance. Isn't this struggle familiar? The attempt to reconcile our physical existence with our sense of spiritual identity? The desire to be seen as more than our bodies while simultaneously living through them? Compassion emerges as both blessing and burden, particularly in Tomas's journey. The word's etymology reveals its deeper meaning, not merely sympathy, but a shared emotional experience, literally suffering with another. When Teresa confesses to reading his letters, Tomas's anger transforms into empathy, deepening their connection despite his resistance. This compassion becomes transformative when Teresa flees to Prague during the Soviet occupation. Though Tomas briefly experiences lightness in Zurich, his imagination soon fills with images of her suffering. Despite knowing it means sacrificing his medical career, he returns to occupied Czechoslovakia to be with her. As he crosses the border, he reflects on Beethoven's phrase, "Es muss sein," it must be, suggesting both necessity and choice in his return. The novel asks, is compassion a weakness from which we should free ourselves, or something heavy yet valuable? Tomas's journey suggests the latter, that meaning comes precisely from the weight of our connections to others, even when those connections limit our freedom. Against the backdrop of the 1968 Soviet invasion, the characters navigate not only personal relationships, but political oppression. When Thomas publishes an article comparing the communist regime to Oedipus, who blinded himself after realizing his crimes, he faces severe consequences. The regime demands he retract his statements, presenting an impossible choice between integrity and career. His refusal costs him his position as a surgeon. He becomes first a window washer, then a rural driver, his professional identity stripped away by political forces. Yet in this loss, he discovers unexpected liberation, no longer bound by his prestigious career. The political context also corrupts intimate relationships. When Teresa works as a photographer documenting the invasion, she faces surveillance and intimidation. Her fear that the engineer she slept with might be working for the secret police reveals how totalitarianism poisons even private connections. Can personal freedom exist under political oppression? The characters find complex answers, creating private spaces of meaning even as external forces limit their choices. Kitsch represents the denial of everything unacceptable in human existence, a curtain drawn over reality's messier aspects. More than mere bad taste, it's a philosophical stance that systematically excludes everything challenging our desire for absolute meaning. Sabina, the painter valuing authenticity above all, recognizes Kitsch in both communist parades and American sentimentality. The May Day parade epitomizes forced consensus with existence, where people feign unity under superficial beauty. Similarly, an American senator equating children's joy with universal happiness employs the same emotional manipulation through different symbols. Kitsch thrives on shared emotions. Children playing, families united, patriotic sacrifice, transforming these universal experiences into weapons of emotional coercion. It operates by activating what Kundera calls the second tear. Not the tear shed for the touching scene itself, but for our collective ability to be moved by such scenes. Haven't we all felt pressure to embrace simplistic narratives about our lives? To post only perfect moments on social media? To embrace cultural clichés about love or happiness? The novel challenges us to recognize and resist these comfortable illusions, asking how we might live more authentically in a world increasingly dominated by artificial perfection. After years of struggle, Tomas and Teresa retreat to a rural village, finding refuge among apple trees and rolling hills. The transition from urban professionals to rural workers represents a profound spiritual journey as they adapt to country rhythms. Teresa finds deep contentment in this rural cocoon, where the smell of hay and morning mist evoke childhood memories of security. Their simple life represents a delicate compromise between conflicting needs, Tomas's desire for freedom and Teresa's need for security. Working as a truck driver, Tomas finds a different kind of liberation, while his reduced social circle naturally limits his former philandering. Though far from their original ambitions, they create a life offering unexpected peace. Yet even this pastoral retreat can't entirely escape their fundamental tensions. Their dog Karenin's illness and death becomes a powerful catalyst, forcing them to confront not only mortality, but also the nature of unconditional love. The novel concludes with a dreamlike scene at a rural hotel where they dance together, finding momentary happiness before their death in a car accident, an ending revealed earlier in the narrative. What Kundera ultimately suggests is that the lightness of being, living just once, without rehearsal, is both unbearable and beautiful, making our choices simultaneously meaningless in cosmic terms, yet profoundly meaningful in human terms.